This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. We don't have big announcer man right now telling me that I am the... what's the name he gives me? I forget the name he gives me now. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. I can't remember what he calls me. Something about the mix. Oh, that's it. The Mixmaster. There we go. We don't have Mr. Announcer Man telling me I'm the Mixmaster, so therefore I forget who I am. And we don't have the good doctor with us this week either. We're bedeviled by scheduling conflicts again. Boy, I wish we could get past these scheduling conflicts. We are time-starved in our society today, are we not? I had an opportunity to preach at Jace Broadhurst Church not too long ago at Poolsville Baptist Church. And we've got the audio on YouTube, actually. So I'm going to grab that audio off of YouTube. You'll hear the first half of a message today that says, you may know that you have eternal life. Based on the last portion of 1 John, not to be confused with the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John. So we'll do that this morning. And we'll finish it up next week. And then hopefully Jace and our other partners in crime will come along and help us to do what we do here on The Faith Debate, which is normally a panel discussion. Now, before I get into the sermon message, I want to make sure I thank our sponsors, Hilo Auto Sales, online at HiloAutoSales.com, and Tire Pros of Frederick. And so here we go. You may know that you have eternal life based on 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. I hope you enjoy it.
Sometimes you just know. You know? You have a certainty in your gut. But more than this, you have experience. You have been shown some things. You've learned some things. There are facts that back up what you believe. There's the cold, hard truth, and you grasp it. You have every reason to know, and so you know. You just know. You really do know. And if you don't, well, you should. You can. Or in the words of the Apostle John, you may. You may know that you have eternal life, Christian. This is a major theme in one of John's New Testament letters, the book of the Bible we refer to as 1 John. He wants you to know that you may know that you have eternal life as a follower of Jesus Christ. You may know this because as a Christ follower, you do have eternal life. It is true, and so you may know this. John is so insistent on making this point that he uses the word know, K-N-O-W, nearly four dozen times in 1 John. This is one of the shorter books of the Bible. Only 105 verses in all. This means that on average, John uses the word know on average, almost every two verses. That's a lot of knowing. And this pattern is even more prominent in the passage that we're looking at today, 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21, which we will read together. So if you would, grab your Bible and open it up to the end of 1 John. 1 John is part of a collection, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John together. We're looking for 1 John toward the end of your Bible, the end of the New Testament. You're looking for the end of this book, chapter 5. And we're going to notice the word know popping up over and over again, seven times in these final nine verses of his letter. Beginning with verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we've asked of him. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is a sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we praise you. We glorify your name. We thank you for bringing about creation by your word and saving us and all of your creation by your living word, Jesus Christ. We ask that you would illuminate our minds by your spirit this morning, that we would truly grasp what it is you ask us, tell us, that we may know. Encourage those of us in Christ. And call those who don't recognize their eternal standing before you to turn to Christ by what we do and say here this morning. May everything we do here this morning be to your honor and glory. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. The most recent time that I was here to preach, I mentioned that I wasn't sure how many sermons I have shared with you, and so I looked it up. Counting today, I have now shared God's word with you from this pulpit 20 times. The first time being January 2010. And I'm on the schedule to preach a few more times in the coming months, and so doing the math, I preach here at PBC approximately, on average, about three times a year for the past 7.5 years. And approximately a third of the sermons have drawn the gospel message from 1 John. In fact, the very first time I spoke here, it was 1 John that we tackled together. And six more 1 John sermons followed in kind of an on-again, off-again pattern over the years. And as I reviewed my notes from all of these sermons, it occurred to me that I have covered with you all of 1 John, except for the ending. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 21. So, as you might imagine, I am very excited to finally finish my series on 1 John. Counting today, it has taken 8 sermons, spread out over nearly 8 years, but we have finally gotten there. Anyway, as I reviewed my notes on all of these first 7 sermons, and as I reread 1 John for the umpteenth time, I found my mind wandering deep into my past. And it wasn't wandering because I was losing focus. It was wandering because I was actually gaining a clarity of focus. So let me tell you where my mind kept running off to, and then I will tell you why it went there. Approximately 25 years ago, I proposed to my wife. And we work in the radio business together. And so I proposed live on the air.
Oh my.
And here is what I said. A friend of mine in Illinois is getting married in a couple of months. He caught a few of his friends off guard with the announcement, and he told me that one of his friends asked him how he knew that the woman he had just gotten engaged to was the woman he was meant to spend the rest of his life with. He said he used to ask the same question, how will I know when I found the right one, the one that's perfect for me? And he was told by someone else, you'll just know. So when his friend asked him that question, he answered, I just know. In the past, of course, he wasn't very satisfied with the answer. He wanted to know, what do you mean, I'll just know? How will I know? When will I know? What are the signs, the symptoms? But now he understands there are signs and symptoms and signals. But there are so many, and they're so strong that they're almost beyond, and actually are beyond, the ability of the human mind to fully comprehend. At least on the plane that we use to communicate. It's the kind of thing that goes to the farthest reaches of our ability to comprehend, and we have such a fragile grasp on it, such a newness of feeling that we can't adequately describe or explain to someone else what the whole thing is all about. And thus we get the answer, you just know. Well, I just know. I found that special someone. She's the most beautiful person I've ever known. Most beautiful person I could possibly know. She's absolutely gorgeous, but the depth of her beauty comes from inside. Her love, caring, kindness, and simple goodness are so genuine and so deep that at first you can't believe she's real. Attempts to compare her to others quickly fall flat because there's no person alive with a heart like hers. Generous thoughts permeate her entire being. She does more than just wish others well. She sacrifices a part of herself to make those wishes come true. She's special, and she makes me feel special. I love her with everything I've got. And just when I think I couldn't possibly love her more, I do. I find more love, a deeper love than before. She's the one I'll spend the rest of my life loving, and with her continue to find new levels of love. I've tried here to adequately explain my feelings and her worth, but no matter what words I find, they just don't do her or my feelings justice. Let me say again that I know she's the one because I just know. I wish I could scream from all the rooftops in the world how wonderful life is for me now. But no building is tall enough and my voice wouldn't carry far enough. But working in radio has its perks. It allows me to effectively shout from all the rooftops at the same time. And it allows me, before all the world as my witness, to declare my love for the most incredible woman on the face of the earth. And to ask her, Dina Carol Castellino, to spend the rest of her life at my side. As my wife. And to allow me to stand at her side forever as her husband. I promise I'll try to make you the happiest woman in the world for the rest of your life. And you can make me the happiest man in the world by accepting this ring. Dina, will you marry me? She did say yes, by the way. First, she sort of laughed giddily and she expressed some surprise at me having ambushed her live on the air. But she said yes. And then she quickly said that she had the urge to go throw up. True story. I take that as a good sign. Anyway, why did I share that proposal with you? Because I recall that feeling of knowing. I recall using the word no almost as much as John does in his letter to us. And the knowing is somewhat similar. Knowing that we are loved, knowing that there's someone who sacrifices for us, who is caring, kind, and good. And it's hard always to find the right words to express how this makes us feel, and how this changes us for the better, how it impacts the world around us. As you can tell from my proposal to Dina, my wife presents me with a picture of Christ. Oh, how I hope I do the same for her. If you're married, I hope that your spouse does this for you. Or that they did if they've passed on. And if you're not married, know that this is what you're looking for. You are looking for someone who you can grow with. As the two of you challenge and support one another to better represent Christ to each other and to the world around you. So this is our backdrop. Let's dive into the text. 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Say this: I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Verse 13 is the thesis statement for the entire letter. I want to underline it. John tells us, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is why he has written what he has written. He wants you to know, believers, that you don't believe in vain. You have eternal life. You are loved. As true believers, you don't merely acknowledge that Jesus existed or simply give assent to this idea that Jesus is the Christ. You believe in the name, it says, of the Son of God. There's power in the name. Authority in the name. The authority of the Son of God. The Son of God. This is the one in whom you believe and trust and follow and depend. God has brought you to this place so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the gift of our covenant-making God with his covenant people. This is not merely some lovey-dovey, soft and squishy, personalized experience with God. He does love you specifically, but as a particular member of his covenant people, his Israel, his church, his bride, interestingly, like Dina is and was mine. But with me and Dina, there's a one-on-one sort of thing going on. And that's it. For Christ, his bride is the elect. The entire group comprises his covenant people. This is why the pronouns in verses 13 through 15 are corporate pronouns. They are plural pronouns. Difficult to see in our English translations because of the way that English differs from Greek. When you see the word you in your English Bible in these three verses, what's really being said here is, in the original Greek, what it says is, y'all. Use guys. And in verse 18 through the end of the chapter, through the end of the book, everything is plural again. You'll notice there the words we showing up recurrently, along with us and other plural words. So what does this mean for you? It means that as a Christian, you are part of this group. God has promised to be with this group forever. And this can give us confidence. In verses 14 and 15, we can see that we can actually approach God. Do we appreciate this enough?
And we will leave that as a cliffhanger question. Do we appreciate that enough? So that's approximately the first half of a message that was delivered not too long ago at Poolsville Baptist Church. I again thank them for welcoming me into their pulpit. It is always an honor and a great responsibility that I take very seriously. And I hope that it spoke to you and that will continue to speak to you as we catch the last half of it on next week's show. And then after that, hopefully we'll have our panel back together with Dr. Jace Broadhurst and me and some guests talking about some issue of theology or religion or faith that we don't always 100% see eye to eye on. At least that's the goal and the intent with these shows. I want to thank our sponsor again, or sponsors, I guess, Hilo Auto Sales at HiloAutoSales.com and also Tire Pros of Frederick. I want to thank you for listening and encourage you to visit us online. You can go to WFMD.com, K keyword faith takes you right to the Faith Debate page, or you can go to the WFMD.com homepage, and there's the drop-down tabs for the on-air programs, and you can click on the Faith Debate page. That takes you to the Faith Debate. And what you'll find there, for the most part, you'll find some biographical information about Jace Broadhurst and about myself and some things about the show. And then you'll also find kind of a program guide, shows that have been on recently and the show that's about to come on next week. We always promote about a week in advance on the page. And then we also do some things on Facebook. You can check that out as well. And, of course, from the Faith Debate page, you can link to the WFMD Audio Vault, where once upon a time, all of the shows that the Faith Debate has ever done since its inauguration, since its inception, I guess, better word, back in 2004, were there. I'm not so sure that's the case anymore. There's been a lot of house cleaning and sprucing up and changing the way the website works and looks and feels and all that. And in the process, a number of the old audio files seem to have gotten misplaced. But there are a lot of shows there still. Keep you busy for hours if you want to. Going back, I was probably covering at least the last year, maybe the last couple of years of shows. So, and certainly the most current ones are there. And we're on iTunes, too. So check that out. And if you like what you hear on iTunes, I hear it does wonders if you like it. Like, literally hit the like button that you like it or something. So, I don't know. Like it. See what happens. Again, thank you for listening. Until next week, 167 and a half hours from now, God bless.